This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Hurricane Milton makes landfall, and we have the story.
Woman arrested after allegedly shooting her son in southeast Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Kansas is number four in the nation when it comes to bad driving. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Hurricane Milton made landfall in Florida as a Category 3 hurricane last night, bringing severe rain, winds, and flooding to the Sunshine State. Fox Weather's Steve Bender has the latest from Tampa.
The rain's back at it yet again. We've had over a foot of rain in this downtown Tampa area over the past 24 hours. That's what kind of led to the flash flood emergency. That's the highest threshold for a flash flooding event. It's a life-threatening event. 2 million people are in that flash flood emergency. We're in Hillsborough County. We got over 500,000 people in our county alone without power. That's over 70% of the customers. Thankfully, where I stand in downtown proper, you are seeing the lights are still on. So we had power throughout this entire event, but the winds were quite strong, and there was a bunch of debris at times, whether it was trees or signs.
Milton has now been downgraded to a Category 1 hurricane. More than 3 million people across Florida reportedly without power.
And tornadoes spawned in Florida ahead of the hurricane, making landfall. St. Lucie County Sheriff Keith Pearson confirms to Fox Weather some of those tornadoes were in his county, and some people did not survive those twisters.
Currently, we're in a rescue mode. Governor DeSantis and his team has been amazing. They sent the National Guard down. Hundreds of members of the search and rescue teams. I can confirm that there is multiple fatalities from this tornado that struck our area.
About 130 tornado warnings went out across Florida yesterday.
A Wichita woman has been arrested after police say she shot her 16-year-old son Wednesday morning in the 9100 block of East Harry at the Claremont Apartments. The 46-year-old woman called 911, reported that she had shot her son, who was hospitalized in extremely critical condition. The woman was arrested on suspicion of aggravated battery, aggravated assault, domestic violence, and aggravated assault.
The $450 million school bond for Wichita Public Schools will officially be put to a vote in February. The Kansas Board of Education approved a special election for February 25th. If approved, the district says the money would be used to update schools as part of facilities master plan.
Kansas has been named one of the worst states for driving behavior.
A study published in Forbes Advisor ranks Kansas the ninth overall worst state. The study shows Kansas is number two among the states for texting while driving. Kansas also ranks in the top 10 of other bad driving categories, such as changing lanes or turning without signaling, eating while driving, and speeding up to make it through a yellow light. Other states that ranked higher include Oregon at number two, and Hawaii is number one. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Israel says Iran will pay a price for its ballistic missile attack last week. Fox's Mike Tobin with the latest on the conflict in the Middle East.
The U.S. has been pushing for a strike that is symbolic and avoids sparking a larger war, according to Israeli sources. With that, President Biden had his first phone call with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu since August. Iran, with its foreign minister Abbas Araghchi in Saudi Arabia, threatened consequences for any neighboring countries that allow Israel to use their airspace for a strike. There is no let-up in the battering the Israeli Air Force is delivering to Lebanon, with punishment concentrating in the neighborhood called Dahia, where most of Hezbollah's leadership was killed and civilians suffer.
KNSS News Time, now 7:06, 6 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Kansas City Royals and the New York Yankees, another close one last night. We'll have highlights coming up in sports.
A new sandwich is hitting McDonald's menus today.
Really?
Excitement.
Oh, yeah.
That story and more. coming up on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News now, 7:09, 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. The city of Bel Air has filed a lawsuit against three companies over professional negligence and breach of contract in the Woodlawn Project's pavement failure between 37th and 45th North. Lawsuit was filed Wednesday in Sedgwick County District Court seeking the recovery of damages to redesign and reconstruct the road, which the Kansas Department of Transportation estimates will cost between $3 and $8 million.
An Arizona Democratic Party office is shot at for the third time in less than a month.
Tempe police say thankfully no one was inside when the building was once again hit with gunfire. The building is shared by the Harris Walls campaign. This time someone spotted the car the suspect sped away in, so the search is on for the gunman. A $1,000 reward is being offered for the arrest or indictment of those responsible. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
The Biden administration is doing what many predecessors have done, respond to a forthcoming book detailing behind-the-scenes meetings.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is being peppered with questions about a new book by Washington Post reporter Bob Woodward.
There's going to be many books that are written about this administration.
Jean-Pierre says it's a typical thing to occur.
I'm not going to weigh in on particulars in each one of those books.
Woodward reports President Biden has spoken in coarse language about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
You have heard the president say he doesn't agree with everything, and they have disagreements. But because they have had this decades-long relationship, they're able to be honest with each other.
At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
A new sandwich is hitting McDonald's menus today.
McDonald's new Chicken Big Mac is being released in the U.S. after making appearances on the restaurant's menus around the world. It's the same as a regular Big Mac, but instead of two all-beef patties sitting on top of the special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, there are two tempura battered chicken patties. The new Mac also leaves off the onions in a departure from the original version. In addition to the sandwich's testing in international markets, it was also available in Miami for a short time in 2022. The Chicken Big Mac will be on menus for a limited time at participating locations. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
KNSS, how about it, Ted? We need to get one of those, a Chicken Mac.
You can go ahead.
All right.
Not for me.
7:12 now, 12 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Traffic right now in Wichita. Those traffic volumes really starting to pick up out there. You can see it on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras in the area. Still not seeing any big slowdowns, but definitely some areas where those traffic volumes are getting heavier. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. A couple of things. First and foremost, how are you guys doing?
Oh, wonderfully.
Yeah, we're glad we're not in St. Petersburg.
Not a hurricane in sight?
Yeah, really. But and before we get into that, number two, I got to say, how dare you? How dare you? You know I eat lunch this time of day, and you're talking about Chicken Macs. That's all I can think about now. It's going to be hard to get into the forecast.
We really don't care about that.
What? Well, you know what? That's true. That's true. So let's just go ahead and skip all that. Get into what we do care about. As far as that forecast goes, before I get into the local stuff, yeah, as far as Florida, drying out, starting to get some daylight out there here pretty soon. And that's when we'll really see the extent of a lot of the damage out there as that, storm continues to track out of Florida and into the Atlantic. Of course, they still are going to be extremely busy, as they'll have a lot of cleaning up to do. Flooding, multiple tornado reports yesterday, and of course a lot of wind damage too. So thoughts, you know, still with them. Now here locally, we'll continue to track a chance for rainfall ourselves. Not everyone going to see any rain out there. There's just going to be a small chance of seeing a shower or thunderstorm between this morning into the afternoon. Just in general, for those of you that commute around the metro as a whole, mainly around and especially east of the Kansas Turnpike. So either way, we only stand at around a 10% chance. chance, so we do have a much better chance of staying dry. Going to be another warm one out there, too. After a cool start this morning, high of 85 degrees under a partly cloudy to mostly sunny sky. Skies are going to stay clear and fair tonight with a low of 57. And then, safe to say, just as warm as the last few days. Tomorrow, as we get ready to wrap up the work and school week, 87 degrees for a high Friday with more sunshine. Now, there's going to be a change, a shift over the weekend. 89 on Saturday. There's going to be a front just up to our north. That's going to dive farther south by Sunday, taking us down to 78 for a high at the end of the weekend. And then dropping even more into next week, a high of 68 degrees next Monday under mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. Only a small 10% chance of rain. We'll stay in the middle 60s Tuesday, high of 68 degrees next Wednesday. Fall enthusiast, go ahead and rejoice. Right now we're at right around the 50s currently. We were in the 60s not too long ago and still right around the lower 60s. And then we'll have we currently have a light southeast wind at 8 miles an hour, and skies still pretty clear out there, too.
Now, dozens of tornado warnings associated with that storm.
And you know what? Just for perspective, a lot of those tornado warnings beginning around yesterday morning. So safe to say around 12 hours. We're talking about a half a day before that hurricane even making landfall. So, you know, that's what makes those storms, you know, just so dangerous and life-threatening. And to my knowledge, I think there were some fatalities in a senior community area. So, you know, again, as we get daylight, we'll really, you know, see the extent of what's been going on over the last 24 hours.
All right. Thanks, Ronell, the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. And on Facebook, our good friend Bob Henshaw, former Sedgwick County Sheriff,
mm-hmm.
he was writing, he wrote out the storm about 80 miles northeast of Tampa.
Okay.
And he seems to be, everything's okay. And I saw his, had him on Facebook. I tried to get a message to him, see if he'd be on the air with us this morning. I haven't been able to contact him. That's former Sedgwick County Sheriff Bob Henshaw. Yesterday's high temperature, Wichita, 88 degrees, plenty of sunshine.
Yeah, plenty of warmth.
Yeah, normal high 74. On this date in 1973, north central Oklahoma was inundated by 15 to 20 inches of rain in 13 hours. Enid received almost 16 inches from a nearly stationary thunderstorm, which established a 24-hour state rainfall record. That was in 1973.
Ugh.
On this date in 2001, a month after the September 11th attacks, U.S. jets pounded the Afghan capital of Kabul, while President George W. Bush unveiled a list of 22 most wanted terrorists, including Osama bin Laden. Football Hall of Famer Brett Favre having a birthday today, 55 years old. Of course, he played in the National League and the NFL for 20 seasons, primarily with the Green Bay Packers. I think last year was 20. You believe this? He retired in 2010? Wow. Time's getting away from us.
No kidding.
Of course, recently revealed that he is suffering from Parkinson's disease.
Sad.
Brett Favre. All right, Ted, what else we got going on? I wanted to tell you about the big bug, okay?
Okay.
Scientists now know what the head of the biggest bug to ever crawl the earth looks like. Most fossils of the extinct creatures, which grew to nearly 9 feet long.
Oh, you need a big can of Raid for that.
And more than 100 pounds. The fossils they have no heads, but analyzing complete fossils of juveniles allowed researchers to develop a model of the beast's head. Scientists reported Wednesday that it has it was a round bulb with two short bell-shaped antennae, two protruding eyes like a crab, and a small mouth adapted for grinding leaves and bark. The creature called Arthroplera had features of modern-day centipedes and millipedes.
Only it weighed 100 pounds.
Creepy bug.
Don't want to see that coming.
Yeah. What kind of a fly swatter you got to have for that thing?
Yeah. Well, that's a thing like you would see in a movie. You think, just made up that creature. No, it actually exists.
Some guy in a rubber suit, right?
Yeah. As opposed to other kinds of bugs, though, apparently this thing looked a little bit more like a centipede. So it's more of a wormish-looking thing than anything else. Still, that's a big one.
I'm glad I don't live back then.
Still, you don't want that crawling through your cave if you're a caveman.
Like you said, you got to have a big can of Raid for one of those. 7:18, Steve at 10 in the morning now. Let's get serious and talk about sports with Ted Woodward. Ted?
Yeah, we had baseball playoffs action last night. First postseason game in Kansas City in 9 years. The Royals and the Yankees at Kauffman Stadium. The top team in the league, the Yankees, taking on the Royals. Series tied at one game apiece. Once again, it was another close affair. The Yankees had a 2-0 lead. The Royals rallied to tie it in the bottom of the fifth. But then the Royals really couldn't get much going on after that. The Yankees did get a home run, a solo home run from Giancarlo Stanton in the top of the eighth inning. So the Royals were trying to come back in the bottom of the eighth and the bottom of the ninth, down by a run. You heard the game on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
And the first pitch. Swinging a ground ball to short. Volpe is there. He fields and throws in time, and the Yankees take game three. The Royals play another one-run game in the postseason. They were on the right side in one-run games against Baltimore. They have been on the wrong side in one-run games against the Yankees. And Luke Weaver, who gave up two hits in the eighth inning but retired Yulier Gurriel with the tying run at third base on a fly ball to center field, had no trouble in the bottom of the ninth inning tonight. Three up, three down.
Yeah, the Royals did not score after the fifth inning and lose 3-2. They just can't get to that Yankees bullpen. In this series, the Yankees bullpen, 13 2/3 innings of work, zero earned runs allowed.
There's a key.
All right, so the season for the Royals comes down to tonight. Got to win to keep the season alive. It's game four in this best-of-five series. The Royals hosting the Yankees. The Royals are trailing 2-1. Have to win tonight. Royals-Yankees, live coverage at 6:30 this evening. First pitch at 7:08 p.m. Listen live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Let's take a look at what else is going on. We have Thursday night football tonight. Pro football action to get the week started in the NFL. And it's first place Seattle hosting San Francisco, the Seahawks and the 49ers. 49ers haven't won a road game yet. The Seahawks are coming off back-to-back losses. But odds makers are favoring the 49ers on the road by 3.5 points. Coverage for Thursday night football at 6:30 tonight, and that is on 1330 AM KNSS. Let's take a look at some soccer action, JUCO soccer action yesterday. Big day for Cali College. The Cali men are ranked 8th in the nation, and they win at home, beat Dodge City 1-0. Cali men's soccer team, undefeated atop the Jayhawk Conference, ranked 8th in the nation. And the Cali women also won. They beat Dodge City 4-0. The Cali women, 6-0-1, undefeated in their last 7 games. And the Cali women's soccer team is ranked 11th in the nation. Good wins for Cali men and women in soccer action yesterday. And happy birthday today. Go back to football for the former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Of course, he has been on the roster for the Chiefs for their last 2 Super Bowl wins. He's not on the roster anymore. He's now with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Wonder if the Chiefs wish they still had him on the roster. Former Chiefs wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling. It's his birthday. He is 30 years old today, and he's got a couple of Super Bowl rings with the Chiefs. There you go. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
I'd like to say happy anniversary to my son Scott and his wife Shanna. They are celebrating their 27th wedding anniversary
today.
Yeah, you believe
that? Wow.
Scott and Shannon.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yeah.
Hey, I just locked up with former Sedgwick County Sheriff Bob Hinshaw.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking with him in about 10 minutes.
Very good.
About 7:35 this morning. So keep it right here. Coming up, House Call for Health, more colonoscopy appointments for people under the age of 50. That's coming up with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 on a Thursday morning, 60 degrees. Hurricane Milton made landfall in Florida as a Category 3 hurricane last night, bringing severe rain, winds, and flooding to the Sunshine State. Fox Weather's Haley Meyer has a report from Daytona Beach, Florida.
Wind has not stopped. It's been relentless. There's a lot of flying debris now. There's been a pile of seafoam. It's been whipping up, almost like a little dust devil, but like a seafoam tornado. I'm not saying there's a tornado here. That's not the case. Multiple palm trees are down. Power is getting lost in some spots, but here directly, we are okay. Rain has dropped a little bit, but it's still pounding me here out in Daytona. Still enough of that storm surge, the water coming slowly. Hasn't changed much in terms of how much water rise at this point, but it's a dangerous situation.
Yeah, she filed that a couple of hours ago. Milton has now been downgraded to a Category 1 hurricane. More than 3 million people across Florida are without power.
A University of Kansas instructor placed on leave for advocating that men who won't vote for a female president be shot.
We can line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works. Those words leading to University of Kansas professor Phil Locock's suspension. His comments on a classroom video that went viral on X. Although he is heard quickly adding, did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the dean hearing I said that. All of this leading to calls now for his firing. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
A Texas woman was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison after she was convicted of stealing more than $50,000 from an elderly relative in Wichita. 43-year-old Stephanie Brax was convicted of felony theft and mistreatment of an elderly person for writing checks to herself and her boyfriend. Other relatives noticed that multiple items were missing, including the man's driver's license, Social Security card, and checkbook. Brax will also be required to pay more than $50,000 in restitution.
Open Streets ICT is coming back this Sunday for its seventh year.
The festivities will be held on Douglas Avenue from Bluff Street in College Hill to Glen Street in the historic Delano District. Visitors can cruise on bikes and skateboards or walk and stop at activity hubs, shop businesses on the route, and visit food and street vendors while listening to music. If you bring pets, they must be kept on a leash. Water stations for dogs will be available along the route. Wichita Transit is offering free rides on the Q Line trolley during the event on 1st and 2nd Streets from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. The shuttle will run from 2nd and Oliver to 2nd and Waco, then circle back up 1st Street to Oliver. Open Streets ICT will be held from noon to 5 p.m. Streets will close at 10 a.m. and reopen by 6 that evening. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Both presidential candidates are set to head to a key western battleground state.
Vice President Kamala Harris holding a rally in Arizona, as the latest Fox News power rankings has the key battleground state rated as a toss-up. The vice president is trying to deliver back-to-back presidential wins for Democrats for the first time since the 1940s. Meanwhile, former President Trump is scheduled to hold a rally in Prescott Valley this Sunday as he's trying to replicate his 2016 victory before he became the first Republican to lose Arizona since 1996. In 2020, Arizona also has a key Senate race between Democrat Ruben Gallego and Republican Kerry Lake. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
There's a small chance for a shower or thunderstorm, mainly during the early part of the day. So morning hours, possibly into the early part of the afternoon. We only stand at around a 10% chance in severe weather not expected. Otherwise, partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies and another warm high of 85. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Rana Williams.
Now we have a clear sky, 60 degrees, southeast wind at 3 miles per hour. KNSS News Time now, 7:34 on this Thursday morning. Hurricane Milton is pretty much across the state of Florida, then heading out to the east. And with us this morning is former Sedgwick County Sheriff Robert Henshaw, who now lives, about 80 miles northeast of Tampa. Good morning, Bob. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, we live probably about 40 miles inland and about 60 miles north of it. So we're quite a bit from the coast.
Yeah, you made a conscious effort then to sit there and ride out the storm. Is that correct?
We did. When this first all started last week and they were talking about, there's this, thing in the Gulf, maybe get some rain and that's it. And then it quickly spun up to what turned into, Category 5 Milton. We started monitoring it very closely and looked at everything, looked at where we were, how the house was built and the infrastructure here, and decided to ride it out.
So how long have you been, how long have you lived in Florida? You retired here and then went to Florida, right?
Correct. We stayed in Wichita for quite a while. And then in 2018, we decided to move. We love traveling. And where we are now in this retirement community, we're within easy driving distance of three or four international airports and several cruise terminals, plus two of my wife's sisters already lived here in the villages, so it was a natural fit for us.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the storm coming through there. What kind of conditions did you see? A lot of high wind, rain? What happened there where you were at, Bob?
You know, to preface that a little bit, the villages where we live is a retirement community, but it's not your parents' retirement community. There's about 150,000 of us living here, scattered over three counties and several cities, and they build the homes and the infrastructure with weather in mind. Our home is built with standards to hurricane shelter, and the infrastructure with the utilities are all underground. They have retention ponds. They move water around. They know what they're doing here. So making that decision to stay was a pretty easy thing to do, and what we ended up experiencing for us was at the height of the storm for us in the middle of the state, we had sustained winds of about 40 miles an hour, gusting to about 60 miles an hour. We received 8.8 inches of total rain at our house. And as near as I can tell, walking around this morning with my cup of coffee, total extent of the damage at our house is that our street sign showing our numbers popped off one of the hooks, and I got to repair that later today. That's been it.
So that's the kind of wind we have in Kansas, but is that kind of rain? We'd love to have 8 inches of rain spread out over a few days since we have a drought going on here.
Yeah. Oh, we could use that here too. Been keeping track of friends that live here in the area, and we were very fortunate. I have a couple of other friends that I've already reached out to this morning. They did lose power, but it was restored by 6 o'clock this morning. Others just outside of the villages area, they had some tree limbs down. So, yeah, we did get some damage, but it isn't anywhere near how devastated that the coasts received. And right now, I think they're still getting a little bit of it over around Daytona Beach and Port Canaveral.
What's the name of the place that you live then, Bob?
It's called The Villages.
The Villages.
Plural.
The Villages.
Yeah,
okay.
Villages, plural.
Okay,
and
now.
If you want to try to pinpoint us on a map, I'd probably look for the city of Wildwood. That's one of the towns that the Villages is within. But we scatter over three counties and several small towns.
I know when you were Sedgwick County Sheriff, like all Sedgwick County Sheriffs, you were heavily involved in storms, storm warnings, planning for hazards and things like that. Give us an idea in Florida. I've heard they're very, very well organized when it comes to getting people ready for this emergency that comes with the storms.
You know, they are overall, I believe, and the debate goes on even today. You know, if you've got to get stuck in a terrible storm, would you prefer a tornado or a hurricane? And it's about 50-50. My wife thinks she'd rather be under a tornado warning. I prefer a hurricane because, again, we had several days advance notice, and so we could plan and decide whether to evacuate or to shelter in place. So they're very well organized. You know, I mentioned before about the villages. They've got all those water retention ponds. We've got 13 championship golf courses, 42 executive golf courses. That's part of the water management system because several days ago, before this even hit the coast, they had all the sprinkler systems on, emptying those 750 water retention ponds onto the common areas and onto the golf courses. All those golf courses are runoff for major storms that may come to our area. So we have very little, if no problem with flooding in our area. The northern half of the villages from the mid-70s, they may have a little bit, but that's it.
Milton spawned several dozen tornado warnings along with it. I guess it's the thing, as a hurricane comes through, you get some tornadoes in front of it. Hearing those warnings must have made you feel at home for Kansas.
You know, I haven't heard any warnings, but we definitely watch out for those. And I've got to admit, I was a little surprised, but looking back on it, it made sense. With the high winds and rain and storms, yeah, I can see tornadoes spinning up, but I understand this particular event was remarkable even for hurricane-spawned tornadoes down in this area. So very fortunate that we didn't have any close to us.
Well, it's good to hear that everybody's okay, and we want to thank you for talking with us this morning, and best of luck to you in the future in your retirement down there in Florida. Bob, always nice to talk to you.
Great to talk to you again, Steve.
All right.
We'll see you later.
Okay, thank you. Former Sedgwick County Sheriff Bob Henshaw, living down in Florida and going through the storm there. Not too much in his area. I was going to talk a little bit about this teacher that got into trouble at the University of Kansas. I guess we'll save that for another time. I don't know if we've got have we got time for that. Let's play the of course he's apologized for what he did. Apparently this was done several weeks or months ago, and it's just now surfacing. But this University of Kansas professor said this in one of his classes.
It's what frustrates me. There are going to be some males in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works. Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the deans hearing that I said that.
One of the people who is calling for him to be fired is our U.S. Senator from Kansas, Roger Marshall, put out a release yesterday on that. I don't know. I have some mixed feelings about this, Ted. You've been sat through a few college lectures, and I've always felt like there was a good place for people to have wide open discussions on anything you want in any manner you want to.
Well, it goes beyond discussion, though. He said something that, goes over the line. If you just stopped halfway through his sentence there, he would have made a nice point.
He didn't stop.
He said we should shoot them all.
Yeah, well,
line them up and shoot them all. That's where he crossed the line.
That's probably the sticking point right there. But he knew, realized he'd goofed
up.
And
he realized it immediately, which a lot of people do when they're speaking extemporaneously and off the cuff, and they realize they said something they shouldn't, and they immediately apologize and say, I shouldn't have said that.
I wonder how many times I've done something not like that, but similar in that I made a mistake in a way I phrased saying over 55 years on the radio. I'll bet you there's quite a few times. But no, so far, nobody's ever fired me for it. So anyway, there you go. Quite a controversy there. Apparently, he's on leave right now. So we'll see what happens next with the University of Kansas professor. It's 7:43. Stephen Ted here on KNSS. Coming up, we've got the Wichita Business Journal update. Textron Machinist contract talks scheduled for today. That's on the way with Stephen Ted in the morning on KNSS.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve at 10 in the morning, KNSS, 7:48 on this Thursday morning. Three big things. Kansas Board of Education approves a vote on the bond issue for Wichita schools in February.
Two.
Woman accused of shooting her teenage son in southeast Wichita.
One.
Hurricane Milton moving across Florida, downgraded to a Category 1. Three big things. Steve at 10 on KNSS.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras starting to show traffic backups forming in several places on the highways. Eastbound on Kellogg, right around West Street, where the backup's kind of starting. Northbound I-135, halfway between Lincoln and Harry. Starting to see a bit of a backup there as well. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 86 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 58. And for Friday, sunny, tomorrow's high 87 degrees. Now clear sky, southeast wind at 3 miles per hour, 60 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Hatman Jack's new fall line of hats has arrived. See why people from around the nation make Hatman Jack's their destination. Open Tuesday through Saturday at the Clark Tower in Delano. For the largest selection of Western hats, fedoras, and caps, see the experts at Hat Man Jack's. Another record-setting day on Wall Street, but Boeing stock closed down.
Stocks ending higher with both the Dow and S&P 500 notching new record closes as investors await the Consumer Price Index report for September on Thursday, while third quarter earnings season gets underway in earnest on Friday when several of the largest banks are slated to report. Minutes from the Fed September meeting show that officials were divided over how much to cut rates, but most favored the larger half-point cut as they balanced the risks of a softening labor market and above-target inflation. The Dow winners, Apple, United Health Group, and Caterpillar, the only Dow decliners, Boeing and Salesforce. The Dow up 432 points, the Nasdaq higher by 109, S&P 500 up 41. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Tens of millions of Social Security recipients will learn today how big a cost of living boost they'll get to their benefits next year. In advance of the announcement, analysts forecast that the benefit boost would be about 2.5% for 2025. That is smaller than the increase in the past 2 years.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. After 2.5 weeks of stalemate, Textron Aviation and local machinist union representatives are set to meet today for the first time since the machinist strike began on September 23rd. In a statement, Textron Aviation confirmed the company and International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local Lodge 774, had agreed to return to the negotiating table.
A Dallas development company has expanded its residential work into Mays. Bridger Companies, a real estate developer and operator focused on cities in the Midwest and Southwest, has started infrastructure work on the Heights at Mays, a 40-acre single-family and duplex development on the west side of 119th Street West, approximately a quarter of a mile south of 37th. Fisher Wells, managing partner at Bridger, says the development broke ground in August with plans to build 120 duplex housing units on 26 acres.
Community and technical colleges across Kansas are not immune from the enrollment challenges that traditional four-year institutions are up against. That's according to new figures from the Kansas Board of Regents. The number of full-time students at the 19 community colleges in the state has grown by an average of 2.5% over last year, but they've gone down nearly 9% during the last 5 years. Likely linked to the lasting impacts of the pandemic. Community colleges also battling enrollment challenges when it comes to total headcounts, with Board of Regents data showing an average 5.5% drop since 2019. However, community colleges in Seward County, Pratt, Dodge City, and Garden City are notably showing a five-year climb in total headcounts compared to others around the state. That's local business news from the Wichita Business Journal.
And I'd just like to, again, say happy anniversary to my son, Scott, and his wife, Shanna. They're having, I think, their 27th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness gracious.
That's amazing, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific. Got three wonderful children who happen to be
exactly.
our grandkids, and they're living the good life.
That's fantastic.
This is Steve and Ted's show number 6,779. 6,779. And I'm enjoying this morning because I've got a great cup of Prairie Fire coffee right there.
Look at you.
That's what we do around here, Prairie Fire. You know what would be really good with that cup of Prairie Fire coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Some angel food cake. Today is National Angel Food Cake Day, Ted. Are you into angel food cake?
Nope, doesn't do anything for me.
Oh, I love it. Celebrating this delicious light and fluffy cake.
Might as well eat a sponge.
That many home cooks serve with fruit or glazes.
Well, see, you have to put stuff on it to make it
that's the way with most
palatable
cake and pie. I mean, pumpkin pie without whipped cream, are you kidding me?
At least it has taste.
Originating in the United States and first becoming popular in the late 19th century, angel food cake was so named because of its light, airy lightness.
There you go.
Can't remember when I last tasted a piece of angel food cake.
Yet you're talking about how great it is, and you can't remember the last time you ate it.
Well,
that's my point exactly.
Because it's great doesn't mean I get to have it very often. How am I going to get it unless I go out and buy me a cake?
Well, exactly.
And my wife's not going to make an angel food cake. I don't think she knows how. You're not going to get me one, that's
nope.
For sure. What about devil's food cake, then?
Now we're talking.
There you go.
That's a different deal.
See there how often we disagree on things. Angel food, I'm for it. Devil's food, you're for that.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Just call the whole thing off.
Right. Hey, by the way, you asked me a question. Yes, we were talking about how many hurricanes we had this year.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's M, Milton, so there's been 13 hurricanes, but you want to know how many have hit the U.S.? Five.
Just five?
Yeah, this is the fifth one.
Yeah, because you're taking, yeah.
Because some of those, you know, form in the Atlantic and die off. Some of them head to Mexico and never get here. But, yeah, this Milton's the fifth one that's hit us this year.
Yeah.
And I was surprised when I looked back. They had a list of every hurricane season dating back to the 1800s. There's usually two or three years every decade when we get no hurricanes that hit us.
Seems like it. Yeah.
And I was like, it seems like we get hit every year. I was like, no, there was a couple times last decade where we had no hurricanes at all.
And officially, the hurricane season goes until the end of November.
Yeah, so we're still about several weeks to go. Yep.
Oh, all right, interesting.
Let's hope it fizzles out from here on out.
7:55 now, Steve and Ted coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning with Steve and Ted. We'll have the latest on Hurricane Milton. Moving on, but leaving a giant mess behind and a lot of power outages. Ted has sports on the way.
Another close one between the Royals and the Yankees. We'll have highlights coming up in sports.
Plus entertainment news, the blur.
Yes, we'll get you all your entertainment news and all the pertinent audio you need and at 8:35 this morning.
Plus traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. Stay with us, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.